coming round. We're here for the show. I'll be happy tomorrow.
Hi, this is Christy and Katrina here for the DK805 podcast. We're here today to talk about this thing called grief. We can't sugarcoat it, nor do I think we should sugarcoat it. Sometimes in life, we walk around with what I call, I don't know what I call it. Right now, I'm still learning what to call it. But there are times in life where we just have to walk through life with the happy face. And I guess that is kind of sugarcoating it, but
faith it till you make it.
Right. Fake it till you make it.
Faith it till you make it.
Oh, faith it. Mm-hmm. I like faith it till you make it. And one of the things that is coming up with the change of the seasons, the changing of the seasons, is the holidays. And for me, it was my grief starts in summertime. So we all have different seasons mm-hmm. for our grief, but my grief with Devin starts in June mm-hmm. because Devin passed away in June. Mm-hmm. His birthday's in July. Then there's Fentanyl Awareness Day in August. My birthday's in August, and I know you're coming into a different season yourself this time, and your season's just starting because I know you're Dylan's birthday. Yeah. Is coming up. I can feel my heart getting heavy right now.
Yeah, I know.
And how have you been knowing? I want to carry your grief for you right now. And I know that I can't because loss is a universal thing. Mm. And there's different triggers that can happen. Were you aware that Dylan's birthday was coming up? Or did you see a shift in your own behavior? Or how are you handling it?
So for me, and I know for you, it's not just the year. It's a year. For me, 3 years. And so that date is May 22nd, 2022. All the dates, and that's Mother's Day month, there's all the dates. And just looking at you, watching you, you know, tell me the date, transition, birth date, transition home. You know, then the fentanyl awareness date, and then all these dates. So there's just never a non-month date, really. There's some pauses in that, but this is the September 7th is Dylan's birth date, and he would have been 32. That's coming up on Sunday, and I have begun to notice, and I've begun to notice that it starts sort of feeling just really tight. What something's coming. I'm edgy. There's all of that, but also I'm, you know, aware of that. What is it? And then I'm just sort of trying to figure it out. But the reminders are coming quicker. So I have family members that remind me, like it's September 1st. Let's say that just sort of that day came and. I was just having a really, really couldn't sleep, which I don't do much anymore, really consistently. But the day of this, of the, knowing that the September 1st month is gonna, that's gonna kind of trigger it off. And so what I'm trying to do is okay, quicker understand what's coming. It's, you know, his transition birthday, his birthday. Is we celebrate that. We celebrate the birth of him, his beautiful life given, and we celebrate his transition home date. We celebrate both those days, and in ways that have become very honoring. I try each time just to, so this knowing now, like where I'm at today, this just being, you know, Friday the 5th and gearing towards, it's like it is, it feels like it's like a clock and it's kind of ticking towards what's it going to be like that day of, and then it kind of is like a wave, and then it just will be like up and over. It feels like getting up and over that day.
The waves of life, right? Mm-hmm. Just the waves of life.
Yeah.
Since it's only been, well, I'm going into my second year of grieving
yes.
Devin, I know, and I don't know about for you, but I spent my first year avoiding everything. Mm-hmm. I couldn't plan a service mm-hmm. for Devin. I could not do it. So I planned for his celebration of life to be on his actual birthday. And so this year, like you, mm-hmm. I celebrate his birthday mm-hmm. and his, I call it his graduation mm-hmm. day, because his death date is when everybody in my city graduated high school. Mm-hmm. And I remember texting, oh gosh, I feel like I'm going to cry. I always feel the emotions in my nose. But I remember that morning texting mm-hmm. and people were, they were at graduation. Mm-hmm. And I felt so alone that morning. Mm-hmm. And it was just going out to look at, to go over to my mom and dad's house. It's like this surreal moment. And I get in the car and I turn on the radio mm-hmm. and the song from Jelly Roll, of course, mm-hmm. Comes on, and it's called I'm Not Okay. Mm-hmm. And I sat in my driveway and I sobbed. Mm-hmm. And then just trying to drive over to my parents' house.
Yeah.
It was everybody at graduation.
Yeah.
And so I look at Devin's death date as his graduation date
yeah.
into life. And I know it, his graduation date out of life, I shouldn't say into life, out of life.
Yeah.
And then his birth date is his, the day I celebrate
yeah.
him alive. But even knowing that, one of the things this past year I'm trying to do, because I don't know how you spent your first holidays after Dylan passed away. Mm-hmm. I know what I did with mine, but mm-hmm. I'd like to hear what you did with yours, and I'll tell you how I spent mine.
So I, same like you, the first year, there was a lot of avoidance. There's all the levels of grief that are very real. They're there for a reason. So they are, they're not in order, but there's avoidance, there's denial, there is, you know, all of the you know, the written layers of grief that acceptance. So in the first year was a lot of denial. And there was just, it's surreal. It's still surreal that it's something that I'm living. You know, you live with grief. My family has been touched with grief of a young man prior to my Dylan. So in our family, we have, you know, we have a lot of just encompassing love for that and understanding of that there's, because when you're grieving a child, you're grieving the loss of all of the future as well. It's not just that they have passed, that they're no longer struggling, that the words that people try to say to help you in the beginning, but as a mother, we are fathers and families, but it's so much a part of just seeing the future sort of just taken. So that's the first sort of year for me was a lot of processing of that, of just like, I'm not going to experience, you know, grandchildren. I'm not going to experience seeing him get married, and a lot of that. And then sort of just in the denial part was, avoidance, and then going, you know, in a lot of, let's go somewhere to forget about, or not forget, let's to forget this is happening here. Thinking that if we went somewhere else, it would not be there. And that was a big part of trying to go somewhere to kind of get away from. So we took a few little trips that made us, you know, feel like we were away from the heaviness of the house, where all the flowers were, and all the cards and all of the things set up that I left for a really long time. And then just sort of it just became too much to see. So we kind of just escaped our environment. And then nature became a really big part of for me with my Dylan. It was just I could feel him in nature, and I didn't want to be enclosed in like the house of, you know, like where all the grief felt. So when I'm out there, and that's what we were doing in the first year, was we took ashes to Hawaii, and we did ceremonial, very ritual, loving memorial type things that I'm just so grateful we did that. We were kind of prompted to do that. I have, like I said, my closest aunt is also the one that she lost her son to a motorcycle accident at 19. So there was she was placed there. Like it was just, she was right there to just walk me through, like, you know, so lovingly, just her softness in her voice, and just, you know, you just to get out of bed one day at a time, just get your teeth brushed, brush your hair. Just, I don't even remember where the, you know, so going back to the first year, I do need to share this. I do not even remember really. She came in, she flew in. My mother was very sick at that time. We were, she had early dementia. And so I'm also in this compounded grief because my mom passed very shortly after my son. And there is that it was just all jumbled together. And my aunt came in and just things that I couldn't even remember doing that got done. Like the care of the house, the grocery shopping, the things that I could not do. And she just came in and did that thing. Let me be in a state of finding those feelings.
My first year of dealing with the Devon's grief was very, very different in regards to the fact that I work in a service industry where I travel. And I could not escape families. I could not escape the holidays. I would be in different airports. I would be at different places where families would be going to meet other people. So I had to put on my brave face for the public. Mm. And in my brave face, there was... always.
They're going on vacations.
They're going to weddings. They're going home. Mm-hmm. And so my first holiday, my first Thanksgiving, I would see people all throughout the airports and I would see them taking pictures. So I would naturally go up and ask for family pictures because it's either the dad taking the picture, the mom taking the picture.
Yeah.
And I would always say, let me take that picture for you. Tell me about your holiday. Let me hear what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I would give him a hug and I would always say, I'm so grateful you have this time together. Oh gosh, here comes the emotions. But how I spent, it's going to make me cry. Hold on. This is the rawness. I went to my hotel room and I watched Devon's service and I gave thanks that he was part of my life. Okay. There's that one. Let me get through that. Christmas. Gosh. Okay.
You're doing amazing.
Amazing. Christmas, how I spent Christmas. The same thing. I would go up and I'd take pictures and I'd hear about their holidays.
Yeah.
Christmas, my whole family was together in a city that I was in. I wasn't invited. My presence made them uncomfortable. So how I spent Christmas... in San Francisco, by myself, I went down to Union Square, and I found somebody who was alone and struggling with an illness and struggling with addictions and by themselves, and I ate dinner with them.
Christy.
There's a saying
that
hurt people hurt people.
Yeah.
There's another saying, hurt people heal people. And so... I'm hurt, but I want to heal.
That's what we're doing.
I want to heal.
Yeah.
And I want, I'm still wiping the tears away, but I have to be real.
Yeah.
I have to be real. And to my listeners, don't be afraid of the rawness.
No.
Because you cannot. I mean, one of the things
you can't hide from it. It doesn't,
loss is universal. It's universal. And, who am I now after the aftermath? After the aftermath of spending most of the first year by myself, processing by myself alone in hotels, by myself, I'm somebody that doesn't want anybody else to feel alone.
Yeah.
So now when I see the families in the airports, I want them to have those family pictures. Mm-hmm. I want them to have that fullness of life.
Same.
And I know that this season, this window, this time right now, it's Dylan's birthday.
Yeah.
Which leads into how you're spending it current day,
yeah,
as opposed to how you spent the first day. I mean, I have his second holidays coming up,
mm-hmm,
and now I'm going to be more aware, mm-hmm, of how to handle them.
Mm.
And so when you look at it, have you learned to handle some of your triggers? Clearly, I'm still learning because I just cried on air. But
no, I haven't. And those tears are, those are beautiful shares. For just going back to you sharing your sitting with someone that was in need, to be of service is the way that I have come to find the most healing for this process of grief that I have been given as part of my journey. I do feel Dylan the most in those acts and those times when I won't say that it's that, I mean, he's with me always, but it's in the sharing with those that are also feeling like possibly how in that time frame that he must have been feeling. But I just want to, so yes, what I have learned is quicker the triggers are, they still come and it sort of starts in your stomach and all the things, but it's that they will pass. They do pass, and it's just, and that's where, you know, we're also in Suicide Awareness Month, which is September. These are all really valid, important months to be honoring, because there's so much that some people get so deep in the waves of grief that is, this is a really big, I just want to say it in a way that will make sense too. There's so many places to reach out to for support when you feel so alone or in a deep space that you feel not even your family can support you. There are people with so much, and I've reached out to those spaces, and I have been so grateful to be able to, you know, just to have those spaces, because they're at different times I've reached to those places, and they're there, and there's a lot of support that people aren't, you know, maybe aware of, but that's part of what I want to do, is bring awareness to that, so that we are, you know, we can be more of a support for each other, and speaking out loud, recovering out loud, going through grief, out loud, and not shaming, having stigma around, you know, for us, our boys with their journey in addiction. I'm going to just kind of segue into lack of support where there was friendships. I'll just say I have had, you come into a new tribe, your friends that are there that hold space for you. You really develop that. You know who they are, and you know there's love always with the friendships that were, but you are a new person, and in that you change so dramatically that space changes too, and there's a grief for that. There's a grief of the life you had before, because honestly, it's just really, there's no, I don't even blame the people that can't, it's a lot for people.
Well, and I always look at it is that
they don't know what to say. They don't know what
limited.
To do.
They're just limited. And for me, I went through a time in my life where I was angry,
mm-hmm,
because I've always been in my family, the stable one, the responsible one, the
mm-hmm
one that held the family together. And when my family broke apart, I was alone.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have any life rafts to mm-hmm reach out to. They mm-hmm they weren't there for me. And so one of the things I've had to do myself, I have a tattoo on my foot.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I've mentioned this before or not, but it says, love anchors the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And it is an anchor on my foot.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, I don't want to become bitter. I need to be anchored in love, and I need to be anchored in forgiveness.
Yeah.
And although I wish sometimes I had a lifeline mm-hmm. within a family unit mm-hmm. that I could reach out to and call. It's not there. Mm-hmm. It's not there. I don't think my my one sister passed away. Mm-hmm. My other sister is not healthy. Mm-hmm. My other one hasn't reached out to me in 6 months. I could reach out to her, but it's not my job to make her comfortable.
No.
It's yeah. not my job.
Yeah.
But what I can do is honor that I make her uncomfortable. So it's learning different ways of grief.
Yeah.
Grief can sneak up on us.
Yeah.
And so instead of being angry, I just have to honor that's not part of my journey. And that's where, what a blessing it is that we've connected.
The other stage of grief I didn't mention was anger. So there's denial, acceptance, and the, you know, anger part.
I don't even
part.
Know what stage
and
I'm
so
in.
And so the anger part, you know, that does come and go. That comes in waves. And again, that there is, we've talked about this, there's righteous grief. There is grief that is, of course, there is, we're talking about specifically within this, us meeting our connection with the fentanyl poisoning, this level of crisis that is affecting so many people, so many families feeling just stripped away of the opportunity, one more chance to try rehab if that's the case, or that they can't, or the, you know, the child that is just searching for something to take away their anxiety and they reach for that one pill. So there's so many levels of that. There is, it's shocking. It's shocking. So it's, we're left with like a, you know, we kind of, you know, we, there's no preventing that is the unknown, which is again, now, you know, again, it's so all we can do is with the awareness part. So talking about that, but, I did want to touch on, because I took some time just to really go over what that first year looked like for me and some people that may not know, for, because grief counseling, people can think like, well, I can't afford that, or this isn't something I can do, or I don't even know where to go. And I will just say there are so many loving, supportive in this area code in 805, which we're speaking about where we live. So Livingston Memorial, they're a open, there's, it's non-denominational, and it is a year of free grief. And I went to about 8 months of that. Every Wednesday night I did that.
I didn't even know that existed.
And I didn't either until it was told to me. And I was, it was such a blessing to be able to, they just said, you have to sign up for it. You know, you're in a little bit of a waiting list. It took about a week. That was nothing. I can't even.
Well, grief doesn't, yes. I mean, grief waits.
No, exactly. So when it was like, you know, but again, it was very hard to go. Of course, you know, you walk into a room and it's mothers that are going through different. So what I then began to realize, and was very supportive and it was very loving, and like I said, free, and it was a year that you can come for a year, they said. And I went, I did individual, and then I did the group, and that is still ongoing. That is just contacting the living, they're run through the hospice. And that's how I actually found out. Let me remember that. That's how I found out, because my mom was put on hospice. So in that, that's free grief in the area code, and they're in this county for sure. There's 211ventura.org, 211, and that is a lot of resources of every single support group for grief and every type of grief. Because then let's get into where I was wanting a connected mom that had lost to the same grief, that had the same understanding, that was like so connecting, which is what I believe our boys did with us, because there was this, we understood our sons and what they were struggling with. But then when the specific grief, and that was what I was saying, going to the moms that were in the room there, I wanted to fix them and help them so much that I wasn't realizing that I needed my own, I'm a fixer, and I wanted to go in and fix these moms, and I wasn't giving to myself. Right. And I began to start wanting to come and, like, I wanted to say, I can come and sit with you. And I needed. And so I started looking for a group then that I could start relating to for the specific loss.
Well, one of the things I know that I learned in my lonely year of myself
yeah.
is that my lonely year of grief, it's the most important relationship we can have is with ourselves.
Yeah.
And there is no timeline on grief, and grief is individual. Grief won't kill you. Not getting the proper support and help can.
Oh, yeah.
And so it is important to continue to reach out, and we want to be here for the community. Again, this is the DK805podcast.com. You can email us. You can reach out to, like Katrina said,
the resources on that website.
We do have a resource page.
Yes.
The holidays are coming up, and we'll discuss that as well, because, you know, I'm pretty positive. I'll look at the statistics that it's Suicide Prevention Month, which is important, because I think December has the highest rate of suicide.
We need to be there for one another. We need to just, we need to do all that we can.
And let's continue to be anchored in love.
Anchored in love.
Thank you for listening to the DK 805 podcast.
We're coming round. We're here for the show. I'll be happy.